Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today. This is Kelly Barner, editor at Buyer's Meeting Point. Today, I would like to welcome Katia Kocharch as my guest. Katia is the Risk Intelligence Director at Risk Methods, a cloud-based supply chain risk management solution. Katia is the lead human, if I can call her that, that forms a core part of the Risk Methods Risk Intelligence Service. By combining artificial intelligence and machine learning with a human touch, a higher level of actionable intelligence is created for companies and supply chains facing the possibility of disruption. Intelligence for Risk Methods users are affected by this information every day, and even though they don't realize it, Katia and her team are a critical part of getting that information out. Katia, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Kelly, for having me today and for this opportunity to speak to this amazing audience. Thank you to all listeners.
So if you don't mind, tell us a little bit more about how you work with and how you work alongside the technology available to help companies stay on top of constantly shifting risk conditions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have to say, I really have a fascinating job at Risk Methods. I joined Risk Methods 3 years ago. There are two amazing co-founders, Heiko and Rolf, and IT specialist Robert. I joined because we thought, or we still know, that risk intelligence part is one of the core products of Risk Methods. As you mentioned, in our job or in my job, we have a ton of technology and humans working alongside every day for our customers. And as you can imagine, we live in the era of information. So there's a ton of information out there being created every day. Our task is to find the right information at the right time for our customers.
Now, as you pointed out, there is so much news and information available today that most of us, whether it's sort of professionally driven information or whether it's simply the news from our local area or country, we are completely overwhelmed with information. And yet your job is to work with technology to make sure that it's only the critically relevant pieces of information that are actually flagged. So what kind of a filtering process do you use to handle this enormous mountain of information and really only pull out the relevant risk indicators?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly as you said, Kelly. I see it as like an ocean of information out there. The internet, there's a billions of online data sources and information created every day. So I kind of can explain it that we have six filters. And first, very important one, or you can imagine it like you have news channel, right? And the information is out there. Our first filter is we have our customers who have their specific suppliers, their specific customers, if they want to monitor them as well, the locations like port and airports important for them. So this is our first filter. We only monitor for our customers what they tell us that is important for them. Then we have a second filter, which we kind of can say market standard search engines like Google and Bing. So we filter this information through the second filter. And then we have less. Then we have artificial intelligence. This helps us to master big data searches. We want to be sure, this is also very important because we monitor the suppliers of our customers. That means that we monitor those names. And as you can imagine, the names can be very long, and it's not always how there will be the name written in the news. So that's why we have artificial intelligence would help us to master those results. Then we have the fourth filter, which we call machine learning algorithms and logic, which help us to define which information is more relevant than the other one. So you can imagine that if you just did Google alerts, You will have all the information about your supplier. We talk about risks here. This is very important because we focus on the risk-relevant information. So we have this machine learning to help us to define what is the first we need to look at. And then we have the human beings to verify the information, to analyze, and then enrich the information. So if we, for example, have an earthquake, the team of people will analyze the situation, will create what is the radius. And this helps to define which suppliers sit in the radius of this earthquake. So our customers receive what we call an alert. In this alert, they will have all the information, which of their suppliers, sub-tier suppliers, location might be affected by this event. And the goal is that whenever our customers receive an alert from risk methods, this means that information is relevant for them. It's a high severity because it is about their supply chain, their suppliers, their location. So by default, customers tell me, Kasia, we don't receive many alerts, but whenever we receive them, we need to verify them. And this is our goal. Our goal is not to be another newsletter that we think it's nice to have for a week and then after a week nobody looks at it anymore. Our task is to deliver this actionable, we call it, information for our customers. And, so those are the six filters.
And I think you made an interesting point just now when you talked about this idea of not becoming, you know, just another newsletter, because you're not looking to add to that ocean of information that you're already trying to deal with. You're trying to literally pick out the tiny little pieces of information that the company has to have and get that to them with the right sort of frequency. From a communication standpoint, how have you worked through the process? And this is obviously not just you. This is sort of your whole team. In interacting with customers, the danger is that if you put through too much information, you get lost in the noise. And so how do you work through the right sort of frequency for reaching out? How do you establish levels of how serious something has to be before you issue an alert so that you're literally delivering alerts when they must come through, but not adding to the noise that already exists?
That's a great question, Kelly, and that's exactly what our customers tell us. So actually, our customers have a different level of maturity, and I can see when customers have many questions. Oh, why didn't I receive this alert about this earthquake in Japan? And after checking, we see that they have no suppliers in Japan. So from the first point of view, we might think, oh, I might know about that. But, you know, there's actually more than 1,700 earthquakes with magnitude more than 5 every year. I don't think our customers want to know about all of them. They do want to know about the relevant alerts for them. So you're absolutely right that we look for this balance. So in our risk methods, what we call scorecard, we have around 80 indicators. 33 of them are in this daily monitoring. So we by default have a scope of what are the risks, so we define them. And then if it's about your supplier, if it's about your location, your customer, if we find this match, which has happening in the background for our customers, we always double check that, and then the alert is released. So it really depends whenever something happens, of course, for our customers. But our task, which customers don't see, this all happens in the background. 98% of the information that we see daily is actually the noise. It's a positive information. It is information about the company, but really not risk related. It's about the company or a different company. Then we actually also have a solution for that. We create kind of a news on the site, which are also distributed daily, but they're not about your supplier and not about a specific indicator. And all this to really filter this information and make sure that this alert, when people hear or, you know, really have a push notification on the smartphone, so whenever they see this push notification or the email, they know that risk methods is important and they have to double-check this information.
So, I guess related to the subject of, you know, noise canceling and filtering, mm-hmm. we've talked about the fact that these things happen, and you have to sort through the ocean of information to find the pieces that are relevant. But even once you do find something that appears relevant, there's also some kind of a quality check that I'm sure has to take place. Because, as you said, you're talking about the internet. I mean, there could be absolutely anything being written, whether or not it's actually happening. And so you have to verify that the information is accurate and that it's coming from a reliable source. What is the quality assurance process like to ensure that the information is reliable before it triggers the alert for the client?
Yes, that's an important part, and that's why we believe this could not happen without the human touch at the end. So each and every alert that is generated to our customers go through our quality process, goes through our team to do those enrichments, to analyze, to make sure this is relevant and important and from valuable source for our customers. So this happens on the playground. So our customers can be sure that this alert is important. It's actually worth to mention that the smaller the supplier gets, there's actually less information or will be published about this supplier because, you know, for the media, it's just maybe less relevant than Apple to have it on the front page. But, of course, for our customers, the small supplier might be as important as the big supplier. So that could happen. That could be only one source talking about job cuts at the supplier of our customer. So we also release this alert. But we also always make sure that the information is checked for the quality.
Now, given that you're looking at this information globally and across industries, without identifying the specific companies that they went to, can you give me a couple of examples of things that, whether they actually made the main news recently or not, what are the sorts of events that for you trigger as risk indicators that then end up becoming alerts for clients? What are examples of the types of alerts that you pass through?
Of course. So we have 33 indicators or kind of risk topics that we monitor. So, of course, we all heard about the Hurricane Matthew in America. But actually, interesting, I don't know how many, because I was in America when this happened at our customer day with our customer, American customers. And at the same time, almost, there was a hurricane in South Korea. To be honest, I didn't see it from the news or anywhere there. I saw it in our admin area from the information that was released to our customers. So there's a huge difference what we see, and I kind of see it as the iceberg. 90% of the information is not seen on the TV or internet just because it's not, you know, eye-catching, because it's and 10% people would see anyway without our help. Our help is to define what is the radius of the event or do the matching if it's really this supplier that is relevant for our customers. But just to answer your question, for example, I can think about, you know, Samsung and how now it ends up that Samsung will have to decrease the revenue by 1/3 based on the phone issues. We also started, you know, telling our customers about that in August when there were delays in putting the product on the market. So we really talk about also the signals. Whenever customers receive an alert from us, it doesn't mean that there will be a disruption. It means that very often that there is a signal that there might be an issue. So we kind of want to give our customers the insights into the future so they can take any action. It's not only when the earthquake happened, like lately in Italy. In that case, it's more about crisis management, and we help our customers to define which suppliers, sub-suppliers were affected by this event. But very often it's giving those soft signals, hey, there might be a problem here. It's worth to pay attention to this event.
So you make an interesting point, and the Hurricane Matthew could not be a better example because it reminds us about why you really do have to have the human team as well as the artificial intelligence or the machine learning, because the machine doesn't know, let's say geographically, where it is from the perspective of news. The machine, right, is literally searching for what it's been told to look for everywhere around the world. And therefore, if, you know, even though we function in a global world, there is still a tendency for news to be somewhat localized. So, no, I agree. Mm-hmm. Hurricane Matthew dominated the news here in the United States for several days. I don't think mm-hmm. I read or saw a thing about a hurricane happening in South Korea at the same time, but that might have actually had more of an effect on my supply chain.
Absolutely, that is exactly the case. Yes, the information would be by the region, and we forget about that. Of course, what happens in Europe is more highlighted in our European news and America in the American news. So yes, we have a global coverage, and that's also very important to highlight that we really focus on our customers' supply chain. And in this case, yes, you said it perfectly. Many of our customers were actually affected by the hurricane typhoon in South Korea. But, of course, everyone was asking about Hurricane Matthew, even if they didn't have any suppliers there. So the point I'm trying to make is not everything what we see on TV relates to our supply chain, but we see this information. But then when we think about that, how many suppliers we have, how big our supply chains are and complex with the sub-tier suppliers, of course, as well, then we realize that, you know, at the end of the day, we want to be notified if it's important for us. And that's why we focus mostly on filtering this information and just not forwarding everything what is out there.
So, Katya, as we wind down the conversation here, I think, not to overgeneralize, but most procurement supply chain professionals probably predominantly think of risk methods as being a technology platform. But it's clear that the human element and the content that gets created as part of your process is a critical piece of the value proposition to us as professionals in terms of the intelligence that it offers us. What are the different ways that people can interact with this content or get access to the intelligence so that it's not just software running for them predictably in the background, but is a more active part of their supply chain strategy?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely, Kelly. So even though we created a software, we thought, you know, especially talking about risks, we want to make the risk transparent for our customers. So that's why we do this online monitoring. So we want to make all the risk transparent for our customers. However, to enrich our service and to make it even more and give our customers a holistic view and make it even easier for our customers, we partnered, we formed a relationship with our partners. So those are world-leading data basis for content providers, basically, which help us, and those would be, for example, reinsurance companies or rating agencies, sanctions tech organizations, or compliance providers. We partner with them, and we pre-integrated the data sources and have it at a very affordable price for our customers. So this helps our customers to have even more information in one place when they start with risk methods. It's absolutely super easy to start working with risk methods. It's only your supplier's locations to add in our system, and we can start doing monitoring based on this content that we already pre-integrated for our customers. We also actually have what we call risk research requests. So whenever the customer is on the go, hears something, sees something, and is not sure if this is relevant for his supply chain, if there is a risk, for example, an earthquake happened somewhere, or the company went bankrupt, or the company has a bad situation, financial situation, he can request a research, and our team will immediately get to this, and if it affects our customer, there will be an alert released. So we really have to look at risk methods as a wonderful, also content provider that helps and makes it extremely easy for the customer to start doing ongoing risk management?
Well, there's no question for anybody that turns on television or picks up the newspaper, there are more things going on any given day somewhere in the world than we could possibly keep sight of by ourselves. And so access to intelligence is clearly something that is critical for supply chain professionals, whether they are functioning regionally or globally. The fact of the matter is there is more going on than we can invest the hands-on time to track. Kasia, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing all of the insights and the human backstory that make supply chain risk management possible.
Thank you, Kelly, and thank you to all listeners.
And thank you as well to everyone who has joined us for this BMP Radio podcast. Please feel free to share your comments and feedback on this conversation, as well as to share it with anyone from your network that you feel would benefit from the information.